So he asked them, why are you so fearful? He see, it's a difference when it's your time. It's a difference when it's your child. It's a difference when it's your job they eliminate. I know, because see, we like to be the one that intercede with people. God bless you. I'm going to pray with you. Amen. No, no, but what happens when the roles are reversed? And you're the one that's in need of prayer. He said, can you still trust me in the midst of this storm that you're going through? And see, Jesus raises these two very pointed questions to his disciples because in life, faith and fear is going to be a consistent struggle between, watch this, the believers reaching their place of victory. That all of us in this room, you're going to have to deal with your faith, but if you're going to truly walk in faith, you're going to have to deal with the fear factor. Because there will be some fear associated with you walking in faith with God. Yes, it is. And I'm here to tell you, no, indeed. Don't you believe all of these folks who say, well, I was just in faith in God. No, if you walk in faith, there's a level where you have to overcome this fear that is always present whenever faith is being born. Amen. Amen. You're going to have to deal with the fear factor. And see, most of the time, what determines our victory is how we manage the fear. What determines your progression in God is how you deal with the fear factor. Because operating in faith is going to require you to move outside your comfort zone. It's going to require you to relinquish your abilities. And sometimes when you relinquish your abilities, that's when you get totally uncomfortable, and that's when fear try to set in. Let me tell you something. If you're walking in faith tonight and you believe in God to do something in your life, if you can't make this statement that I'm about to make, it ain't faith that you're in. That if you can't say in the midst of your faith walk with God, if you can't say, Lord, if you don't do it, it's not going to get done, you are not in faith. Because God is not interested in doing anything for you that you can do for yourself. Because real faith is when you say, God, I don't have the power, I don't have the influence, I don't have the wisdom, I don't have the know-how, but I'm in faith trusting that you know how to get this thing done. And that's where many of us drop the ball of faith. That's where many of us experience faith failures because we are not willing and we have not been trained on how to overcome the fear that's associated with faith. Because there's a fear. There's an uneasiness. Anybody ever walked in faith before? Yeah, I know. I know when you came around the church, you was telling everybody, oh, I'm just walking and believing, trusting God. Hallelujah. I know you say all that stuff, but on the inside. Y'all know what I'm talking about? I remember when I was in college, man, I told y'all about my little Cutlass I had and everything. And I remember driving to Nickel State, man, and driving to Monroe. And sometimes, boy, that's where I learned faith. Because I didn't know if that car was going to get me to school or not. And you know something? Boy, when I was driving that car, I had to say, Lord, if you don't get me there, I ain't got enough confidence in this car, but I have confidence in you. And can I tell y'all something, boy? I had to overcome a whole lot of fear. See, because fear is when you take your confidence out of man and man-made systems. And you say, God, I rest in you. And so many believers are living miserable lives because the devil has been frightening us with fear. He's been frightening us with fear. You know how you do it? First of all, he makes us afraid in several areas. First of all, he'll make us afraid of people. Make us afraid of people. What they gonna say? If I tell them I'm going to the other side, what they going to think about me? And some of us, because we're so scared of what people going to say, because somebody has come into your life and grabbed a hold of you. That's why you got to be here next week. Because some of y'all, man, we wrapped up, we tied up in the stuff, and we can't even be free enough. Because we so tied up now. We worried if we gonna get their approval because we so scared that they may disagree with us. Oh boy. And so people will make us afraid. Not only people, but possible outcomes. That when fear set in, now the devil start whispering all of these negative outcomes that can happen. Well, what if this don't happen? Well, what if that don't happen? Well, who gonna do this? Well, how this gonna get done? The devil start asking you questions he know you can't answer. Has the devil ever asked y'all any questions that you know you can't answer? That well, how this door go away? If you go back to school, who gonna keep your kids? But if you open a business, how this gonna happen? Where you gonna get that? And see, with faith, all of that kind of stuff, you don't know. And so what the devil try to beat you with is he'll try to beat you with what you don't know. And fear sets in. And so because I can't answer the questions that the devil is sending to me, I stay on the shore instead of launching out to where Jesus told me to go. Look at your neighbor and ask him, why are you so scared? Why are you so scared? Why are you so scared? See? People. Possible outcomes. But then some of us, the spirit of fear has gripped us because we are afraid that our basic needs won't get met. Lack of provision. And so now when it comes time for us to trust the Lord with our money, every Sunday he pulls the same question on you. What you gonna do next week? Because you know you don't get paid for another 2 weeks. How you gonna give God the tithe? How you gonna walk in faith and obedience and trusting God with your money? How you gonna do that? And you know you gotta eat next week. He start asking you questions that you can't answer. Let me tell you something about trusting God. Trusting God is not about you answering all the questions. Trusting God is about you resting in God's word. I heard a story one time about this daredevil named Blondin. Look it up, Google it. This daredevil Danny named Blondin, they were said that he was one of the most bravest daredevils of all. That one time, Blondin tightroped across the Niagara Falls all the way to the other side, walked all the way back. He came back again, and Blondin went across on stilts one time, across the Niagara Falls. True story. Because he was a daredevil. And another time they say he went across on stilts, stopped in the middle, and made an egg omelet. Boy, it was bad. And then went on across to the other side. There was another time when Blondin pushed a wheelbarrow across the tightrope of the Niagara Falls. And then Blondin got to the other side one day and he asked this dignitary from Europe. He says, do you believe that Blondin is the best daredevil that ever lived? The man said, yes, I believe, Blondin. He says, would you get in the wheelbarrow so I can push you across the tightrope? Because you can't stay on safe ground and say you believe me. Sometimes you got to get in the wheelbarrow and let me push you. See, and that's what God tells us. God, we see what you do. We see how you work miracles, but God is saying, can you overcome fear and just get in the wheelbarrow? Can God push you across the tightrope? Because some of us, we got some tight situations we're dealing with. And what God is saying is, do you trust me to get you across the tightrope? What you got to do is you got to just get in the boat. You got to get in the wheelbarrow and say, God, have your way. See, that's what real trust in God is all about. God, see, that's what he's telling us. See, every time we lift our tide and wave it, God is saying, get in the wheelbarrow. See, and what we want to do is we want to sit on the edge and put our feet out. That's what we do. We like, all right, God, go on ahead, God. But I don't know, God. God says, no, with this thing, you got to just get in and trust the one that's pushing you. Yeah. You got to get in and say, God, what you've done for others, you're able to do for me. You see that? And that's how you overcome fear. Because as long as fear is present, you'll never operate in faith. And the devil knows that. The devil knows that. He knows that. Well, watch this. How do we deal with the fear factor then, Pastor? How do we deal with the fear factor? Because all of us in here, anybody in here in faith, let me see your hands. You trust and you believe in God for something, some kind of breakthrough. So come on, let me see your hands. Don't be scared. Come on. You ain't scared, are you? We're talking about fear and you scared. Come on, lift your hands. You're in faith. This is a safe environment. You ain't got to worry about nothing. Yeah. Yeah. See, all of us, you're going to have to deal with the fear factor. Don't let fear be your motivation. Don't let fear control what your life is doing. See, if we're going to deal with the fear factor, the first thing that we're going to have to do is we're going to have to remember the origin of fear. You're going to have to know where fear comes from. Go with me to 2 Timothy chapter number 1. You're going to have to know where fear comes from. I want you to see this tonight. Because as you're in your walk with God, as you're trusting him, I want to let you know the whole story that sometimes fear is going to be there. But you don't have to be afraid. 2 Timothy 1 and 7. Hurry up. I want you to see this in your Bible. You got to remember the origin of fear. Fear is a tormenting spirit. Fear mess you up. Fear have you acting other than yourself. Fear rob you of sleep at night. You just tossing and turning and can't get comfortable, can't rest, can't do this. You come to church, you're heavy and all that because fear has gripped you. You got to know where the origin of that thing is. Look what it says here in 2 Timothy chapter number 1, verse number 7. If you got it, say, I got it. He says, for God has not given us what, church? God hasn't given us what? Okay, let's stop right there. Let's do some deductive reasoning right here. So if God didn't give me the spirit of fear, then that lets me know where the spirit comes from. See, if God didn't give it to me, that every time fear comes, that means fear has to come from the devil. And notice what it is. It's a spirit of fear. Mm-hmm. It plays on your emotions, but it's a spirit that comes into your life and it grips you. But I says, look what it says, because we get some keys from this verse. He says, he's not giving us a spirit of fear. But what he has given us is he's given us power. See that? He's given us love. This is what I like too. He's given you sound mind. Well, watch this. Because when you are operating under the spirit of fear, you don't have a sound mind. No. People that are afraid, people that are desperate, people that's not sure about God, they ain't dealing with their right mind. And so what you ought to thank God for is that, God, you're going to give me a sound mind. You're going to keep my mind at peace as long as I keep my eyes stayed on you. See that? See, the devil is the author of fear. Fear is not created in the world around us, but fear is created in your mind. By what you think may happen. And whenever the devil sends fear in our life, he understands that there's something that you're going towards, that if I don't send this spirit of fear, you're going to walk into something. That's the origin of fear. We have to remember the origin of fear, but then we also have to remember the purpose of fear. See, the purpose of fear is to place the believer in a place of bondage. See, when you operate under this spirit of fear, you so scared, you can't trust God, you stay on the shore. You never make it to the other side. You never make it to the next level. You never make it to the greater life that God wants you to live, the life of faith. Why? Because fear is to keep you in bondage, to keep you in sameness, to keep you enslaved to what it is that the devil wants to do in your life. See, bondage causes us to have more confidence in the devil than we do in God. That's what fear does. Fear grips your life where you come to have more confidence in what may go wrong than you have confidence in what God said was going to go right. See, we have to remember the purpose of fear. Let me take you to two scriptures right quick. Go with me, first of all. Let me show you back to our original text, Mark chapter number 4. Go there, Mark chapter 4, verse 3. Go there. Mark chapter 4 and verse number 3. Because I want you to see why Jesus was so adamant with these disciples. Because he had just taught them. They had just sat in the lecture. And now when they go and have to apply what they have just been taught, that's when they fail the test. And I want to let all of y'all know tonight, this is the lecture. That God now, he's giving you the theoretical. So you can go out and apply it and you can receive the result of victory. Look what happened here. Look at verse number 3. Let me show you what he's saying. He says in verse number 3, listen. He's teaching now. Jesus is teaching. Behold, he gives them a parable. A sower went out to sow. You see Mark chapter 4, verse number 3. And it happened, he's talking in a parable now, as he sowed, that some seed fell by the wayside, and the birds of the air came and devoured it. Some fell on stony ground where it did not have much earth, and immediately it sprang up because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. And some seed fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no crop. But other seed fell on good ground and yielded a crop that sprang up, increased, and produced. Oh, Lord. It sprang up, it increased, and it produced. See, that's what happened when the word of faith is properly sown into your spirit. It sprang up, it increases, and then it produced. Y'all see that process there? That's process. That the word is sown, but then the word has to spring up. It increases, and then it starts producing. Some of us, we don't stay in the ground long enough in order for God to do what he wants to do for us. He says it sprang up, it increased, it produced, and it produced some 30-fold, some 60-fold, and some 100-fold. See that? Watch this. He's going to give an explanation. He says in verse number 10, but when he was alone, those around him with the 12 asked him about the parable. They was like, Lord, we don't know what you're talking about. And he said to them, to you it has been given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God, but to those who are outside, all things come in parable. Drop down to verse 13. And he said to them, do you not understand this parable? They like, no, Jesus, we don't. He says, how then will you understand all the parables? Look what he says. He gives an explanation. He says, the sower sows the word. See that? Watch this. He's making a correlation. Because since they can't get it. He says the sower sows the word. The word of God is sown. The word of God. Right now while we're sitting at 500 East Hanson Avenue. You know what I'm doing? I'm sowing the word. I'm speaking the word of faith into your spirit right now. That's why these moments are so very important. Because when I'm up here teaching, I ain't just teaching. It's not a speech. See, this is not oratorical skill. I am sowing word into your spirit. He says the sower sows the word into their spirit. And verse number 15 says, and these are the ones by the wayside where the word was sown. When they hear, watch what happens now, what happens when the word is being sown. When they hear the word of faith, Satan comes immediately. When does he come? He comes immediately. This is the lecture. Understand what he sees. This is the lecture. He's telling them that when the word gets sown, immediately the devil is going to come to try to take away the word that was sown in your heart. Well, what are you saying, Pastor? Make it plain for me that when Jesus says we going to the other side, immediately the devil sends a storm to try to steal the word that Jesus gave them on dry ground, that I was going to the other side. And see, that's when fear sets in. When he comes to steal the word of faith, he gives you a word of fear. Uh-huh. See, that's the purpose of fear. Fear comes to steal the word of faith. Steal the seed of faith that God has planted in your heart.